start your engines!
Bring them up, gang. Bring them up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Who is the biggest surprise in 2025, and can they keep it rolling in 2026? Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. We'll be this week, Lee Spencer and Davey Siegel.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Hey, welcome to the show. Glad to have Lee and Davey here. And we'll start with the question I ask in the open. Lee, who do you think the biggest surprise was in 2025?
Chase Briscoe, absolutely. I mean, what he was able to accomplish moving into the 19 ride, making himself a weekly contender. Once it clicked for him, once that light switch went off for him at Joe Gibbs Racing, it was game on. And I think he showed that throughout the year.
But don't you think that that was, to some level, the expectation? Is certainly the expectation he had for himself?
I'm not sure it was going in, because Chase had been through so much adversity over the course of his career, and the way Stuart Haas Racing ended was just another one of those kicks in the gut, right? So to go from where he was to get into the 19 and just to go lights out, make it to the championship for his first time in his career, I think that it took a lot of kumbaya between he and James Small. They had to find that happy place, and once they did, man, they were dynamite.
All right, Davey, who do you think the biggest surprise was in 2025?
Lee took my answer. How dare she? Chase Briscoe is a big surprise, and I think that, Brett, you have a good point too, because obviously when you're in a Joe Gibbs Racing car, you are expected to win races. You are expected to contend for championships. And that's exactly what Chase Briscoe did. And that's why you saw as much emotion out of him after he won Pocono as you did. And he was very open and forthcoming with his emotions, especially to his wife, to us at home, basically saying he was so stressed out because he hadn't won yet. And he knew that he had to. So Briscoe is a good, positive surprise for me. And I'll tell you another one, even though we kind of expected him to do what he did as well, was Shane Van Gisbergen, because not just only did he win one race or two or three or four, he won five of them on road courses this year in his rookie season, first full-time with Trackhouse Racing. Sure, we expected him to have some success and we expected him to run well, but to win five and to do it in the way that he did, just absolutely shellacking the field, that was really impressive to me.
Yeah, I think Davey makes a great point, because I think at the start of the season, we all thought, yeah, Van, you know, SVG is going to make the playoffs because he'll win a couple of road course races. Well, yeah, it became, to his point, five, and most of them weren't close.
No, they weren't close at all. I mean, once he got the lead, it was game on, and it was over, and which kind of opens the door for 2026. And can Connor Zillage repeat that? You know, if he can find his groove, make everything work for him at Trackhouse Racing, are we going to see a battle between Zillage and Van Gisbergen every week? I mean, that would be fun as hell.
Well, yeah, we saw it in some of the Xfinity races. Now, O'Reilly races coming up this year, Davey. You know, could we see those kind of battles a couple of times this year?
Boy, I hope so. Lee's right. It would be really fun to watch those two battle it out on the Cup Series side of things. And like you said, Brett, which was Xfinity at Sonoma, I mean, that's one of the races of the year, in my opinion, just because the battle that we saw between those two drivers on that day was something special. And I think it made it even more special knowing that that's something that we probably are going to see for the next 5 to 10 years, hopefully down the road in the Cup Series. But even though Shane made it look pretty easy, I think we all need to remember and realize that it's not, and that he's really that good. I think Connor is really, really close, if not banging quarter panels with Shane, in terms of a pure talent level, in terms of road course racing. The thing is, Shane now has a bit of an advantage on Connor in terms of seat time in this Gen 7 car with Trackhouse Racing in the Cup Series. I'm not saying that Connor's got a lot of way to go to catch up to Shane, but Shane does have a little bit on Connor, so I think we should pump the brakes collectively and just realize that Connor is still a very young driver, a very young adult, and he has a lot of learning left to do, and he would tell you as much. He has told us as much. So I would not be surprised to see Connor win a road course race this year, but I would be surprised to see him win multiple ahead of SVG. I just think the 88's that good. 87 now this year.
Well, let me ask you, Lee, you talk about SVG and, you know, the surprise that he was in winning five road course races. Did he show enough improvement on the ovals to surprise you this past year.
Absolutely. I think he and Steve and Duran, the way that they worked together and just kind of fed off of each other, because Steven really had never been in this position before, you know, a crew chief at the Cup level. So to have all of it just kind of build together, to grow together and mature. And we saw that over the course of the season. You would look and it's like, oh my gosh, a 10th place finish on an oval. And you know, it just starts clicking. And we said the same thing about Zilich in the Xfinity when he won it at Pocono. Oh, well, it's not really an oval. It's a try, you know, but then he started winning on ovals and you just kind of had to throw your hands up and say, yes, this kid can get the job done. And I think SVG's there. I would be absolutely shocked if he doesn't at least get to round of 12. I mean, you see these little incremental improvements, and I think that there's one for there. But Trackhouse is going to go through some huge changes this year. You know, with Connor coming in, Ross Chastain's going to have a new crew chief. So you have to look at all these little things that are happening behind the scenes. And if they can get the consistency going that they've had in the past, then I think it'll be collectively a great year for Justin Marks' teams.
I've been told at this point, Davey, that, you know, obviously SVG likes winning races. He's enjoying winning the, you know, the road courses, but he really wants to win an oval and prove something now.
Definitely. And I think you've seen that mindset out of him since he came over to America full time. And he was very open and honest as well about it being a process. It wasn't going to happen in year one. Being honest, and I think he probably would tell us too, it'd be a surprise if it happens in year two. I think Lee's point about making the round of 12, that is, I think, potentially a realistic goal for that team this upcoming year, because we knew that they were capable of doing it this year, especially with their prowess on road courses. We knew that they were going to get there. It's just being able to have that consistency over what was a three-race stretch in the first round to get to the round of 12. But SVG is a realist, for better or for worse. He has that Kiwi dry humor to him, so to speak. So look, I think running well on ovals should be expected now out of Shane Van Gisbergen. Winning a race on an oval, I still think we have a little bit to go to get there. However, he surprised us before, and I would not be shocked if he surprises us again. I still think, though, he has a little bit of work left to do on the ovals. And still, too, he and Stephen Doran, I mean, they have good chemistry right now, and they know what it takes to get the job done on road courses. They're getting there in terms of ovals. But you got to remember, for as good as he has been and as better as he has shown, there still are 10, 15 drivers ahead of him that do this every single week and have been doing it for 10, 15 more years than he has. So small incremental gains, I think, for Shane Van Gisbergen in year two at Trackhouse. That is what I think we should expect.
Let me throw another name out, Lee, of a guy that I thought was a big surprise this year for a couple of reasons, and that's Ryan Preece. You know, he had not had a lot of success, or the kind of success I think that Tony Stewart thought he would have at Stewart Haas, and for various reasons, goes over to RFK in a late added third car and outperformed the other two guys at RFK for the most part.
I think he's driven. I mean, I think he's got something to prove. I think once the reality set in with Chase Briscoe of where he was and what he needed to do, and, you know, this is going to be probably his last and greatest opportunity, I think Preece is in that same boat. You know, here I am. I finally got a shot. I'm with like-minded guys. He looked very much like Chris Buescher from the last 2 years, right? I mean, he kind of jumped in and became that guy. And it's really interesting because I think in both those situations, you know, with Buescher and Preece, with Christopher Bell and Chase Briscoe, be careful what you wish for, because, you know, when you bring over a guy like this or recommend a guy like this, it's almost like Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson, right? Jeff Gordon says, hey, I got this guy. And then, yeah, then he never wins another championship again. But Preece isn't ready to win championships yet, but boy, he's gaining. I would have liked to have seen what he was capable of doing at Snowball Derby this week, but I think he withdrew late in the game. So it was, you know, one of those deals, but I only see him getting better. I think RFK, like Trackhouse, is one of those up and coming clubs that's just going to get better with age.
What do you think about what Preece did this year, Davey?
I was impressed, especially if you think about the fact that at Talladega had a top five run and got thrown out after for some spoiler shim infractions, which we now know had no real competitive advantage, but it's a rule. NASCAR had to enforce it, and they moved on. He obviously didn't make the playoffs, but if that penalty did not happen, you have to say, what if? What if they were in a spot where they could have maybe raced for points instead of racing for the win? Would that have changed things? I understand that ifs are just that, but he had a really, really good year, and for the most part, he was the leading car at RFK Racing ahead of Chris Buescher and Brad Keselowski, who was in a slump after a really, really torrid start to the season, finished one spot behind Chris in terms of the point standings, but still had a handful of top 10 finishes, 14 on the year. And we talked to him every single Monday night on Late Shift on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. And rain or shine, he always joined us. There seemed to be a lot more shine than rain this year, which realistically has not always been the case for Ryan Preece. I agree with you guys in terms of this being his last realistic shot to get the job done at the Cup Series level. And Brad Keselowski, I think, was really, really looking at Ryan Preece this year and saying, that's why I hired this guy, because I know what he's capable of, and he's now getting the chance to show it.
Well, if you didn't think they had enough laps at North Wilkesboro when they ran the All-Star race there, they gave you a Cup race to see more laps. Well, now you're going to see even more. We'll talk about that when we come back.
It's more than a rebellion. When your teen is slipping into drugs or alcohol, when social media and pornography consume their time and their mind, when depression and even suicidal thoughts cast a shadow over your home, as a parent, you feel powerless. There is hope. At Turnabout Ranch, troubled teens step away from the chaos and into a clarity of nature on a working cattle ranch. Care for horses, learn responsibility, build trust, and rediscover purpose. It isn't theory, it's real work, real therapy, real healing. Families from across the country have found transformation right here, just when they thought hope was gone. If your teen is struggling with addiction, harmful online behaviors, even weight management, call right now and get the help you all need.
800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. 800-277-1650. That's 800-277-1650.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV, and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won four races in a row, and so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Davey Siegel and Lee Spencer. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. And, you know, Davey, the fans said they wanted more at North Wilkesboro, so they moved the All-Star race to Dover and moved then a points race to North Wilkesboro. That's another story we can get into later on. And it was going to be 400 laps at North Wilkesboro, which is what they used to run, if I remember correctly, back in the old days before they shuttered the place. Well, now NASCAR's announced 50 more laps. It's going to be 450 laps at North Wilkesboro. Is more better?
No. And I hate to be that way. I hate to be the Debbie Downer because it's the holiday season. We're supposed to be happy. We're supposed to be joyful and jovial. But more is not better. Longer is not the answer. In fact, it's the exact wrong way to go. I have been beating the drum for years of shortening the season, shortening the races, all those things. Realistically, I understand, not going to happen. Contracts are in place, and the races are going to be what they are. The schedule is going to be 36 points paying races for probably the rest of time. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. I don't understand this move other than just giving fans more racing, which, yes, sure, it's not necessarily a bad thing all the time. But in this case, I think that there still are a lot of unknowns in terms of how North Wilkesboro is going to race for a points race when there's not anything in terms of besides just money on the line. I mean, there are still a lot of questions left to be answered as it pertains to this racetrack with these Cup Series race cars and this new revamped surface of sorts. I'm happy we're going to North Wilkesboro. I'm supportive of them getting a points race. I do not think this is a good move. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't see the point here.
Lee?
Well, this kind of reminds me of the days back in Bristol before there were was a tunnel. It's 50 laps more for somebody who's already pissed off to lose their mind.
Right now.
Which makes for great radio. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
In the middle of July.
Well, yeah. I can still remember Kyle Busch and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. I mean, these things, these things happen over time. And I think it just means 50 more laps of storylines.
Okay. Well, you know, as a journalist, you can look at it that way. I was of the opinion in the first place that two of the three all-star races we've had there have not been particularly competitive. And so I think having the all-star race leave there, I'm of the opinion of, like Davey said, more is not necessarily better. By going from 200 to 400 laps was not necessarily the best move. And now you're adding 50 more. They didn't have great races at North Wilkesboro back in the day.
They didn't. You're absolutely right. And so this is another experiment. We'll see how it goes. I mean, I think maybe, is it just holding a calendar spot for Nashville Fairgrounds if that should ever happen? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see us going to Dover and how that plays out for the All-Star race. And if that can get a group of fans that just haven't been turning out for that racetrack for a long time. It's sad to say, because I think it puts on very exciting racing. It's different style of racing than we're used to seeing, but the All-Star race is going to have a different look this year, and it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out.
Well, it is going to be a night race, which I don't know if that makes any difference, Davey. At least it won't be in the heat of the day in the middle of July. In the North Carolina Piedmont. Well, it's not the Piedmont, it's the foothills. But still, it's still going to be warm.
I think foothills and Piedmont are the same word, aren't they?
I'd have to look that up.
Yeah.
I'm a DMV boy, so I'll let you guys hash that out. But I will say, I mean, a night race is always fun. You know, you get the pomp and the circumstance of that, and North Wilkesboro under the lights, there's a lot of intrigue with that. But at the same time, Brett, you nailed it. I mean, the All-Star races were not a lot to write home about. If it wasn't for a pit stop, Joey Logano would have led all 200 laps after he and Paul Wolf masterfully maximized the test that they had there. And I want to be clear too, I'm all for the idea of giving tracks that deserve more dates a second date or a points race and moving the All-Star race around and all those different things. But I just don't think that this move in particular, even though it's only 50 laps, I understand that we're not going from 400 to 500 or 500 to 400, whatever it is, it's only a 50 lap increase. I still just don't understand it, really. And again, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that the racing's great. And, you know, Lee, maybe you and I can be in the middle of another scrum and I can get another scar on my elbow for being in the middle of another fight and falling over a tire. I don't know. But on paper, I just don't get it. I just don't.
It could be to fit the TV window. I mean, which is my guess.
Well, it could be. That could be exactly what it is. And, you know, it said it's the first time since, 1974, they're going to have a 450-lap race at North Wilkesboro. I still am curious to see, you know, 6 weeks before that, what the All-Star race is going to look like at Dover and how it's received there.
Like I said, I hope it attracts more fans, because it's been, the fan turnout's been a little lackluster, and that's an important market for us. When you think about the whole New York market, and I know that that's a stretch calling that New York, but that's that East Coast corridor that people want to get. Right now, we're looking at Pennsylvania, New Hampshire is the only two races up there. You don't want to lose Dover, then you completely lose that whole feeling in the Northeast. And so you got to find something for it, but it also has to be entertaining. And I hope it's entertaining for the fans, and it makes them want to come back and bring their friends.
Well, the one thing that will work possibly in Dover's favor this time, Davey, is the fact that you're going back to a more traditional Dover date the week before Memorial Day. So it'll, the weather-wise, it will be a little more amenable.
Hopefully. Find some wood to knock on, please, because Dover has not had good luck in terms of weather. And I have a soft spot for that racetrack. That's my home track. Being in the D.C. area, it's a two-hour run up to Dover, Delaware. Went there twice a year, every year, as a kid with my dad growing up. And it's been unfortunate to see that track kind of go down a little bit in the pecking order in terms of the seats being removed and the track-changing ownership. SMI has done a great job revitalizing that racetrack, though, I will say. There's just a lot of different things that needed to be done that you as a fan there kind of noticed, but it was subconscious in a way. And SMI has spruced a lot of that up. The racing has remained, I would say, status quo. You know, it's a very long green flag run type of racetrack. And I always like sitting in the press box in turn one. And over the course of that long green flag run, you can see the rubber being laid down in all the different lanes. And then under caution, it gets picked right back up. And then when they go back green again, that sets down again. That's what maybe worries me a little bit about the All-Star race being at Dover Motor Speedway, though, Brett, is that a track like that, that lends itself to long green flag racing, that's not typically what the All-Star race is about. Now, who knows what the tire compound is going to look like, what the horsepower situation is going to be. There's a lot of questions that we have going into 2026 that we may not get answers to until we're maybe halfway through the season. So Dover may be one of those independent variables that we might be overlooking because it's not a points race this year that could maybe tell us a lot about what we might see in the second half of 2026. All I know is that if they're racing at Dover and I'm in the area, I'm going to be there. I will not miss it, and I'm really excited to see what happens.
All right, when we come back, a surprise change in the O'Reilly series. Stay with us.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at Z-Max.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Welcome to PRN's At the Track. I'm Lenny Baticki. We are PRN's half-hour weekly show dedicated to the short track, dirt track, legends, and kart racing across the Southeast. We provide our audience with the news and insightful conversations with the newsmakers from grassroots racing.
How did that help you this time to take this victory from a grassroots perspective?
I definitely felt like Martinsville was a lot harder than the other one.
That's PRN's At the Track.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Lee Spencer and Davey Siegel, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. A surprise change in the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, formerly the Xfinity Series. A guy who won a race last year, made the playoffs, and performed pretty well in the playoffs last year. Nick Sanchez, all of a sudden, gets a call last weekend, says, Nick, sorry, we're not going to be able to use you again this year. And it came from Scott Bruschetta at the 48 car. Wow. Kind of blindsided him, he said.
Well, it definitely blindsided Nick, because Nick had a great year for a rookie, you know, to win a race and make the playoffs. I mean, that's pretty sporty for somebody to do. And somebody who's a single car team, has a technical alliance with a bigger organization, RCR, there on that campus. But 5 weeks after the last checkered flag falls and you're just finding out you need a ride, and there are not a lot of rides to be found this time of year. You know, my sources tell me that Patrick Strapoli is supposed to be taking over that ride. You know, Nick's 24 years old, lots of blue sky. Patrick is a doctor during the day, you know, I think an optometrist during the day and a race car driver on the weekends. So 12-year age difference there. So I don't, you know, blue sky. I think the blue sky just walked out the door.
Well, and Davey, it sounds to me what Lee's saying is, you know, finances make a difference. If you can walk in with some money in this day and age, then because a lot of you watch that 48 car week in and week out, and it's big machine records on the side of that car most weeks, which is Scott Borchetta is putting his own money on the side of that car.
Right. And this is a big change for that race team. If that's true, and I have no reason to dispute Lee's reporting there, that Patrick Staropoli will get in there, because Nick Sanchez brings a little bit of funding, but not a whole lot. And that was a big selling point, no pun intended, of this 48 car in what is now the O'Reilly Auto Parts series. It's that Scott Borchetta is putting his own brands and his own sponsors on that race car. And it's not necessarily a 100% unquote pay to play type of ride that a lot of other cars in that series are. And this seems like a big change in that way, especially after you have a young driver with a lot of promise, has had some success on the ARCA level, obviously in the truck series as well, and now just won a race and made the playoffs in that series for your race team. Seemed like you were going to have a good partnership going into year two, but obviously money talks in more ways than one, especially with this ongoing trial that I'm sure we'll hit on at some point. But it just shows that it's not just the Cup Series and it's not just the big teams that really need the dollars and cents to make financial sense. It's the O'Reilly Auto Parts Series teams as well. Even with somebody with as deep as pockets as Scott Borchetta has, the Xfinity Series, or what was then the Xfinity Series, now O'Reilly Auto Parts, they are no different. Same with the Truck Series as well. It's unfortunate for Nick, but I will commend him for the mindset that he seems to have right now, especially finding out this late in the game. I mean, he was doing sim work for the race team in the last 7 days, and to essentially just be told, hey, thanks, but see ya. That's rough, man, especially being as young as he is, and we're going into the holiday season. It's late in the game. So I commend him for having a positive attitude, or being as positive as he can be in the midst of these turbulent times for him. And he's got enough talent. I'm sure he'll land somewhere well.
Well, I think we all feel like that, Lee, because you saw the improvement he had over the course of the season. And especially after he won that race at Echo Park Speedway, you know, that team just, it was on a path over the whole season where they continued to rise.
Well, and he matured personally as well. I mean, you could see it because, you know, as you interview these drivers over the course of a season, especially the young ones, you get the feeling when they start to come into their skin, and he was there, and the confidence was building, and, you know, you have a camaraderie with the drivers, and, you know, they express their feelings more openly, you know, when they start to build that trust with you. And he was at that point, and, you know, you get to meet the family, and Davey's got a connection, I believe, that with his grandmother. She taught your parents in Miami or something like that. So he's a great kid. You know, I hope he lands somewhere. I understood he had a couple
of... I'm impressed by that. Yeah, Nick's, I believe, in his grandma.
Yeah. He had a couple interviews this week, so hopefully things turn out. But, you know, you look at it, and it's like you're kind of going through a shift right now where with... I'm trying to think of the team that went to Dodge. Sorry, it just slipped my...
Colleague,
yeah, with Colleague leaving, there's, you know, two teams that are gone out of Xfinity. So it's like it's shrinking a little bit. And, you know, I hope he finds something, because I thought he was a great fit for the Chevrolet program. You know, Chevrolet likes to have somebody with, you know, a Hispanic background in their stable from a marketing standpoint. I mean, they went full blown behind Sanchez and or sorry, Suarez rather.
Yep.
You know, and supported him at Spire. So hopefully, they might find something in that camp, or you know, just find something for him to do in the interim. But I think he's got a bright future ahead of him, and he certainly deserves to be in the Xfinity series.
Yeah. Go ahead, Davey.
Yeah. Sorry, I think that was my bad. But the weird connection is somehow, some way, Nick's grandma was my dad's Hebrew school teacher in Miami. Like, what are the odds of that? And I don't even know how we figured that out. But Nick and I have always joked about that if I'm ever in the Charlotte area for Passover or for Hanukkah, we'd get together and do something and make a little family reunion out of it. It's just a funny, weird Jewish geography connection. That's all.
Oh, there you go. Real quickly, before we take a break, talk about another young guy who was really shining. You might recognize the last name. Keelan Harvick, 13 years old, wins the Snowflake 125 last week, started like 15th, drove through the field, ended up getting bumped back on a restart, drove through the field again, picks up the win. He probably has a pretty good instructor, but it takes some talent still himself to be able to do that.
Well, not just that. He was studying the video of Nassie, who won the snowball. And Kevin said that Kevin was doing commentating over the weekend for Flo. And, you know, Keelan, the poise that he showed, because, you know, even the best drivers and the most mature drivers, or I should say older, because, you know, maturity is really not an age thing sometimes with racers.
Or adults.
That too.
General.
The composure and poise he showed coming, as you said, after he got knocked out and then came back to win, just speaks volumes to where he is at his level of development.
I tell you, it's amazing because, you know, we all think about, Dave, you think about what we've seen Keelan, you know, since he was doing a pedal car in the backyard, I think. and I think Delano was trying to get him to take up golf, but mm-hmm. I think that's probably out the back door at this point.
Yeah, I think that ship has maybe fortunately now, since he's so talented, sailed. But it is pretty wild to see the amount of talent that he has. He's obviously got some great genes, and he's got a great coach in the form of a father in Kevin Harvick to help him out there. And being a Kevin Harvick fan myself growing up when I was a race fan, the fact that his son is now winning races and beating his dad straight up in late models is mind-boggling to me. But look, Kevin has had an unbelievably successful career. I think nobody would be happier than Kevin to be called Keelan's dad first rather than Cup Series champion and Hall of Famer. And I'm telling you, I don't want to put too much pressure on him, but the trajectory right now, it's seeming like Keelan is going to be one of those guys that we are talking about for not just years, but decades and decades to come. He really seems to have that it factor.
Yeah. Kevin can't walk away anytime soon, it looks like.
No. I mean, and
he's in it.
They have racing on both sides of the family because Delaney's family also came from racing. So that's kind of like a win-win for Keelan.
Absolutely. All right. Maybe they could teach their daughter how to play golf.
She could be behind a race car too pretty soon.
Don't count Piper out.
I wouldn't be shocked.
When we come back, there has been a lot of news going on, I'd say, off the track, on the court. But it's not on the court. It's in the court. We're going to touch on what this could mean for the sport down the road. Stay with us.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, CarShield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call CarShield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with CarShield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-859-0047. 800-859-0047. That's 800-859-0047.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Here's Paul Doschel of Toyota.
We have a kind of robust program around NASCAR, and we feel that if we're going to be there and compete against Chevrolet and Ford, that we want to be able to tell that story. And so we feel that a 360-degree approach is the best for that. Radio fills a much-needed void in our marketing program. Being able to have our commercial spots and the relationship that we have with PRN, where they talk about our vehicles as Camrys and Supras.
The Toyota GR Supra makes that hard left turn onto pit road.
As pace cars, you know, the Toyota Camry pace car or the GR Supra pace car adds a nice touch to broadcast rather than when it's just the pace cars coming out of turn four. So for us, it's really the coming together of the 360-degree approach to really make our program all-inclusive.
NASCAR Network Radio drives business. Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Davey Siegel and also Lee Spencer, Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. A lot of the news, obviously, the last couple of weeks has been with this whole trial between 2311 Front Row and NASCAR, and it's been going on in Charlotte. And, you know, if you've been keeping up with it, you know there's a lot of testimony going on, and there's some angst back and forth between the two sides. And I don't want to get into a lot of what's been said because this is ever-changing. And as we record this show, what's happened to this point could be totally switched by the time that you hear this show. So what I want to get into more is a lot's been said on both sides, Davey, and a lot of this came out beforehand in pre-trial releases and things like that. How does this sport, regardless of what the final verdict of this is, how does this sport move forward from this?
That's the multi-million dollar question, Brett, and not to cop out, but I don't know. And I don't know if either side knows the answer to that question. And that's why this trial is so important on so many levels. And it's kind of crazy to think about that too, because we genuinely don't know, whatever the verdict is, whatever side wins, what the future of the sport is going to look like. There still are going to be cars at Bowman Gray running the Clash and the Daytona 500, and we're still going to have a racing season. And 2311 in Front Row, whether they are chartered or not, they will be a part of it. But we don't know what the long-term and short-term ramifications of this trial will be. And I think that leaves a lot of people, whether you're a fan, whether you're an industry member, you work for a team, you're a mechanic, you're in the media like us, it just leaves us with a lot of questions. And angst, I think, is the right word that you use there, Brett. I mean, it has now officially popped the NASCAR bubble, so to speak, right? We got our fellow compadres, Jeff Gluck and Jordan Bianchi, on national television doing hits. We got national podcasts talking about it. We have ESPN regularly covering it. Obviously, when Michael Jordan was testifying, that was kind of the big draw there. But even some of my friends that are in their mid to late 20s that, frankly, don't follow the sport a whole lot, they're asking me questions about this. They're saying, what is this about? MJ, I know he owned a team, but what is he doing suing the sanctioning body? And I've gotten somewhat okay at condensing it down to an elevator pitch in terms of a speech for like 2 minutes rather than the 25 that it probably takes to explain this in full terms. But to answer your question, Brett, I really genuinely don't know how the sport moves forward from this, where it's going to go, how it's going to look. And I don't think anybody in their right mind honestly knows either.
Well, Lee, I hate to ask the question since Davey just said anybody in their right mind has not got the answer.
So, besides you, Lee.
Besides you, Lee.
What can I say? I went down on Tuesday just to get a feel for what was going on because I had not had time, having been on the West Coast since a week ago Sunday. Had a lot of things to catch up on because I'm covering High Limit in Perth, Australia at the end of the month. But anyway, my whole takeaway just being in there one day and from what I can surmise talking to my husband who has covered it for the wire service, the NASCAR wire service each day, the bottom line after being in there on Tuesday is that the teams wanted permanent charters and people were trying to get to a point where that would be obtainable, except for Jim. France did not want to give the teams permanent charters. And when Richard Childress spoke up on the stand, he used the analogy of the PBR, Professional Bull Riders Association, which they joined, and they own a team. And he said that they bought their charter there for $3 million, and that was 3 years ago, and now they're selling between 24 and 40. And he says that permanence is something that, you know, people cannot just bank on, but he knows that that would give his grandson something to bank on for future. You know, he's been there for 60 years. He wants his kids to be here for 60 years. And I think that's the bottom line when you look at it across the board. He didn't want to get involved in a lawsuit. It, you know, he's pretty much stood with the Frances from the time that the Grand National Division went on strike when they walked out, you know, that many years ago. So, you know, he's always been part of the fabric of the sport. But on the other side of that, he wants it all, and he used the word blood, sweat, and tears, and just the work and the years he's invested into the sport to pay him back, you know, for that investment to pay off. And, you know, there's that generational awareness that he kind of brought to the courtroom. And, you know, from that point, it was interesting to listen to.
You know, one thing that's been interesting to me, Davey, is the numbers that are getting thrown around. And I know that sometimes it can make your eyes roll to the back of your head, and we all joked that I was told there'd be no math. But, I mean, when you start hearing the numbers that get thrown around, and all these teams say that we haven't made money in years, and that's it. That may be lifting the veil on that. I don't think that can be good for anybody. That you know, the judge said months ago, if this thing goes to trial, nobody wins. And I think this may be what he was talking about.
No question. And as cliche as it is to say, the only winners in this are the lawyers, because they're the ones that are bringing home the bacon, right? I don't think that the text messages that were unsealed on both sides, by the way, because I know that the NASCAR ones are getting a lot of attention with Steve Phelps and the Richard Childress stuff, but months before that, there were texts from Denny Hamlin, Steve Lauletta, and 2311 talking about the France family as well. So it obviously goes both ways with anything in an antitrust trial like this does. But the money, the facts and the figures around those things, I mean, Denny Hamlin's salary is now public. Steve O'Donnell, Steve Phelps, their salaries are now public. Jim France, the amount that he and his family take home are now public. This is why Judge Bell was pleading with both sides to settle, because he didn't want this stuff to come out. The teams didn't want this stuff to come out. It's just probably going to cause a lot of issues down the road. And if you think there's unrest now, I'm sure that this unrest will probably continue regardless of which side wins out in this trial, just because now everything is out there. And whether or not you like it or not, it's hard to ignore those facts, those figures, and those numbers. Not even just from the salary side on these individual people that have occupations from the sanctioning body or the race teams, but also the agreements and the exclusivity of them and the hundreds of millions of dollars that tracks and teams get or don't. It's very fascinating. I will say that. I'm not a numbers guy, but I have been combing through these documents like no other, because it is interesting and it's important to see.
Lee, you and Davey and I, all three of us, watch other sports, cover other sports. I know you're a huge baseball fan. And all these other sports have had labor situations, have had labor stoppages. Hockey lost an entire season a few years ago, and yet the fans still come back. Is this something that, of course, we don't know what this sport's going to look like on the other side of this, because this has all been on the other situations, it's been players versus management. This is a different situation. This is not players versus management per se. It's a different structure. And that's what, of course, we are always here. This, the NASCAR is not a ball and stick and ball sport. Did the fans come back? Did the fans just, once this is all said and done, the fans say, you know what, it's back to racing. That's all we really care about.
Well, Davey's on the air a lot more than I am. And I mean, I think, you know, you get a lot of the same people that call in the series, but I'm sure he's heard what they've been saying. And there are people that are interested in, but I think at the end of the day, they just want to get back to tailgating and racing, you know, quite frankly. You know, it took me a long time to want to go back to hockey, because hockey had, you know, just a really, you know, nasty shutout. And I'm like, I was just, I kind of got fed up with that. Yeah, baseball will always have me. But, you know, when they start throwing out numbers and, you know, saying that in 2024, the teams lost $74 million, but NASCAR made $285 million, I think that that resonates with the jury. Because those are numbers that even I can understand. You know, it's like, but you hate it. And sitting in there and just seeing the lawyers attack people, there's just a certain cringe factor for me. I couldn't do it full time.
Yeah. Davey, any thoughts?
Yeah, again, just the lawyers are the winners here from a financial standpoint, and I could never do what they do, and I'd never want to do what they do. The answer to your question there about the fans, though, Brett, I think that's an interesting one because, by and large, the people that we have heard from on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, they're interested to a point. And then when the minutia gets really up and at them, it's kind of like, okay, I'll take Bowman Gray any day now, please. Daytona, you can't come soon enough. And I have to say, I'm right along there with them. And again, I'm not trying to for it to sound like a cop-out, but this is not good for business. This is not good for anybody. And obviously, neither team wanted to sue the sanctioning body, but they felt like this was their only viable option to get permanent charters and to get some of the things that they had been asking for with this charter agreement and renegotiation. So that doesn't change where we are now, though. We are in it. Like when it was day one of the trial last week and we saw everybody rolling up to the courtroom and MJ's wearing a suit and everything's happening, I kind of had a pinch me moment like, okay, this is for real. Like we're doing it because we had heard about it for not just a couple weeks, not just a couple months, but almost a full calendar year at this point and multiple calendar years in terms of the potential renegotiation and re-signing of this said charter agreement. So the fact that we are at this point, we have seen it coming for a while, but the fact that we are now in it and entrenched in it, and who knows how much longer we're going to be in it because the trial seems to be moving at a very, very slow pace, much to Judge Bell's dismay, that just makes it all seem real. And I'll tell you what'll be real fun when we have cars back on track, and that is a topic of conversation. Even the two teams that are bringing this lawsuit, I think if you ask them, they would tell you that they're excited for that too.
All right, when we come back, we'll get Lee and Davey's thoughts on what 2026 is going to look like when we get on the track. Stay with us.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is the kind of racing you can feel in your chest. Door to door, inches apart, every lap all on the line. This is Echo Park Speedway, the hottest track in NASCAR. 3 days of tailgates, camping, and full throttle fun. But Sunday is chaos, speed, and glory. This February 22nd, the Auto Trader 400 takes over Atlanta. Get tickets at EchoParkSpeedway.com.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Ty Gibbs. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoff.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
We We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. Along with Lee Spencer, Davey Siegel, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. Real quickly, before we look ahead to next year, Lee, who would be your driver of the year for 2025?
Oh, and I was thinking about this. I got to give it to Denny Hamlin. I think he wins the championship if you don't have that crash by William Byron. I mean, I really do. I don't think anybody worked harder to win a championship. I mean, seriously, top to bottom, put in the time, put in the effort to win that title. And the fact that he looks pretty jovial in court compared to the guy that I saw in the wee hours at Phoenix, I don't know if he'll ever get past it, but hey.
Davey, how about you?
She took mine again. It's James Dennis.
Great minds.
I mean, yeah, that's right. He led the series in wins. He probably should have won the championship. And that's all that needs to be said, right? Regardless of whatever the format is, was, will be, Denny Hamlin put himself in a position where he knew, with a few laps to go, that he did everything in his power that he needed to do from start to finish, almost, to be a champion. And I think that's what helps him sleep at night. I'm sure that it's probably not a peaceful sleep, but a sleep nonetheless. I think he had a great year. One of the best years of his career, obviously, and one that I did not see coming at the start of the year when they showed up to Bowman Gray with a blank hauler. This is a Joe Gibbs Racing driver, a future first ballot Hall of Famer championship contender that's struggling to find sponsorship. What is going on here? With a new crew chief, by the way, that he apparently had no say in. What is this season going to be like for Denny Hamlin? If you would have told me and Denny probably at Bowman Gray that they would have 6 wins, lead the series in wins, and be that close to winning a championship, I don't know if he would have believed you. But for me, Denny gets my vote.
Yeah. Most of the votes we've gotten have been for Hamlin. We have gotten some Corey Himes and some Connor Zilliches.
I mean, and they had standout years, no doubt about it. But when you look at our premier series and you have to pick one driver, Denny gets my vote. And to think Chris Gabehart wanted to do something different because he didn't think Denny Hamlin could get the job done. And so I think I think Denny wanted to prove him wrong, and he did.
Yep. What do you think as 2026 begins, what are going to be the top 2 or 3 stories you're going to be looking at?
Where Chris Gabehart goes and what's JGR post Chris Gabehart. And I mean, I hate to bring that up again, but he is that pivotal of a figure that you can't dismiss his contribution to JGR and what he could possibly do if the rumors are true at Spire.
So, we don't know where. We know he's left Gibbs. We don't know where he's going. You're saying the rumors are he's going to Spire.
That's the rumor. I'm capital R, people. Don't come back and I'm just, yes.
Rumor, capital R.
Rumor.
Davey, what do you think the top couple stories are going to be in 2026?
Yeah, that's a big one for sure. I don't use this word a lot, but I was shocked by that. I did not see that coming whatsoever. So to see where Chris Gabehart lands, that will be a big story to follow. And the fact that he's leaving one of the top 3 big teams is a big one for me too. One that I'll be following for the entirety of the year is, can anybody, whether that's an individual driver, team, or organization as a whole, catch up with and compete against those top 3 big teams? We're talking about Joe Gibbs Racing, Hendrick Motorsports, and Team Penske. I don't know if the answer is yes right now. I mean, sure, you can look at Trackhouse Racing and say, well, SVG with his road course prowess, Zilliches coming in as a rookie with a lot of road course prowess as well, and Ross Chastain, always a perennial race winner, doing what he did at the Coke 600. He could do that any given Sunday. I think Trackhouse may be the team that's most poised to make a run at him, maybe even RFK, but at the same time, none of their cars even made the playoffs, so I don't know how you can say that with a straight face. I don't know if there's one team that's knocking on the door right now or even in the vicinity to even reach over to knock on it that can challenge any of those 3 major teams. We'll see how the horsepower situation plays out. We'll see how Goodyear and their ever-evolving journey to make some tires that fall off a little bit more and make a better racing product, putting it more in the driver's hands. We'll see how that evolves as well. But overall, I'm going to see if any of those top 3 teams can be not just dethroned, but even challenged, because right now on paper, I just don't see it.
All right,
I want to see a little more out of Team Penske, the 22 team as well, because, I mean, I think they were just a little bit off. They looked like they were showing promise, and then they kind of sunk.
Yeah, a little bit slow most of the year. I think they lacked in horsepower most of the year. When we come back, white flag laps.
This is a consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
My fiancé is a veteran.
I did tours in Korea, Germany, and Bosnia before I got injured.
When Yusuf got out of the military, he needed help getting his disability benefits.
Luckily, DAV came to the rescue. They fought for me the same way that I fought for my country.
Every year, DAV provides life-changing support to more than a million veterans.
My victory is never giving up and finding more ways to serve.
He's pretty amazing.
Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me for another great episode of Fast Talk.
We have NASCAR Hall of Famer Kurt Busch. What does a much older, wiser Kurt Busch want to tell Carson Hocevar?
Well, let's bust out all the VHS tapes and you can watch all my mistakes. Try not to do those, Carson. I like what he's doing. He's learning and he's putting his time in up front.
That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. Time now for our white flag laps. And first up, Davey Siegel.
I just want to say that there is a lot going on in the world of NASCAR right now. A lot of it's positive. A lot of it is not so positive. But I will say there is greener grass on the horizon, everybody. The Clash will be here before you know it. Daytona is not too far behind that. And cars will be back on the racetrack soon. And even before that, the NASCAR O'Reilly Auto Parts Series has a test upcoming at The Rock, Rockingham Speedway, to see what they got in store for this 2026 season. So if you have fatigue of all the stuff going on in the courtroom the last couple weeks, you are not alone. And do not fear, racing will be back soon. And to take a page out of Brad Gilley's playbook with the holiday season approaching, get the race fan in your life the best gift of all, and that is tickets to a NASCAR Cup, O'Reilly Auto Parts Series, or Craftsman Truck Series race. Throw in ARCA while we're at it. Why not? That is the greatest gift of all. So there is plenty to celebrate this holiday season, and greener grass is on the horizon, and I cannot wait until we are talking about cars on track and competition first and foremost.
I thought you were going to say a serious subscription, but you know, I'll throw that in. That too.
And no, I can't give you one for free. Sorry.
And by the way, congratulations on your wedding, and good luck, and enjoy your honeymoon.
Thank you. And go Hokies to you, bro.
Go Hokies. Thank you. And next up, Lee Spencer.
I feel really bad for Ty Majeski about now, because the guy dominated the Snowball Derby only to get to the closing laps, told he had jumped the restart not once but twice and got black flag. My first experience of the Snowball Derby and my last experience, Christopher Bell won. He was DQ'd. Chris Gabehart was his crew chief. You want to go down there. You want to see that race. It's iconic. But, hey, you never know what's going to happen before or after it ends.
That sounds like it. It always is that way, it seems like. But, I mean, half the years they end up getting DQ'd at the end, it seems like.
Crazy.
Unless Keelan Harvick's involved, it seems like. And, Lee, hey, have a great holiday season and enjoy your trip to Australia.
Thank you.
All right. Davey, Lee, thank you guys very much for being here. We appreciate you being here. We'll talk to you next week on the Pit Reporters.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.